I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10, which is page 980. Actually, it's on page 981 is our reading in the Pew Bible in front of you. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46, and I'll be reading to the end of the chapter. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. As I said before, I'm excited to welcome a special guest this morning who is attending Mission Fest together with his daughter. This is, I'd like to welcome Toble Kwa up to the platform, and I want to pray for you before you bring the word of the Lord to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our brother Toble and our sister Jael, Lord. Thank you for the work that they do for your kingdom, day in and day out. And I pray that you would give Toblake a particular blessing this morning as he brings your word to us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our understanding and cause us, through the words of a mere man, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bonjour. Que la grâce du Seigneur vous accompagne. Good morning. Did you know that Manitoba has the highest population of French-speaking people in Canada outside of Quebec? So that's the reason why a guy like myself, exercising a ministry with BLF Canada, which, by the way, stands for Bibles and Literature in French. We have the opportunity to serve the Lord basically anywhere there is a need for Francophone, whether they are in Quebec, whether they are in Canada, whether they are in French Africa like Togo, or whether they are in places even like Haiti. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to first provide resources. Now, we, as you know, have our nice little gadgets, right? And pastors like your pastor, I'm sure he has a computer in his office that he uses in the preparation of his sermons. But what do you do if electricity is not dependable? What do you do if internet is non-existent or almost? Then you have to depend on the printed page. And in third world country, the printed page is still king. All you got to do, if you run out of electricity, you put on a few candles and you turn the page. That's it. And you continue preparing your sermons for Sunday that's coming. This is one of the reasons for which BLF Canada exists. I happen to be the director, and my daughter that is with me is also a missionary with BLF Canada, along with her husband, Zach. On the table in the back, you know, today you go to the store and you buy some cornflakes. There is one side of the box that's in French. There is another side that's in English. So there you go. You take one of these prayer cards and to pray for the ministry in Quebec. It just so happens that 23% of the entire population of Canada in the last census still claim that French is their first language. So 23%, you know, it's almost one quarter of the population of Canada. That is a great mission field. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Quebec is the least evangelized people group in the North Americas. And it is your Samaria. So that's a great reason to pray for Quebec. So please take one of these cards and you put it on your fridge. You know why? Because not only it acts as a prayer card, but it also acts as a diet card. The way it works is that you put it on the fridge with a magnet, and in the middle of the night, when you can't sleep and you have a little bit of a tumble, you know, your stomach is craving for something, you go down the stairs, open the fridge door, and just before you open the fridge door, those missionaries will say, aha! You should not touch that piece of chocolate cake. Go back to bed. And while you go back up to bed, then you can pray for the missionaries in Quebec. All right? So prayer cards, it works like a diet card. We will be keeping an eye on you. Also on the table, you have those nice, lovely Air Miles card. They are already coded for BLF Canada, which means that when you use it wherever they accept your miles, the points will not go to you. They will go to BLF Canada. We use the point to fly to Manitoba twice a year, pay for the rental of a vehicle and such needs. So even though you can't speak a word of French, well, we won't hold it against you. Just take one of those prayer cards, one of those Air Miles card, use it, and you will contribute to the ministry in Quebec. So this is some of the things that you do. Now, this is a lovely piece of information that I would invite you to put on your living room table. So it has all kind of great, fantastic information about the Francophones, and especially in Quebec, so that this is for your information. Now, just to let you know, we are at BLF Canada involved in Haiti, in providing resources for pastors. We feel that if we can provide resources for pastors, pastors will have solid material to study and to communicate the Word of God to their congregation. Here is the situation, and because of the political situation in Haiti right now, I have not been able to go to Haiti for the last 3-4 years. I usually go there every year for several weeks to teach a theological course to pastors. And now, in spite of us not being able to go, they have went ahead and continue with their project of building a Bible school in the region of Limonite. And the Bible school is existing, as well as the students are graduating. Now they need resources. And I need to discover a safe way to send those resources to them. So please pray for this. Also, in the province of Quebec, we have started to have a radio program. And it is going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have one station. We would like to have many, many more. And we have to deal with the CRTC licenses. Now, you're the one that elected the government. But I want you to know that for whatever reason, they do not work at my speed. They happen to be working at the speed of molasses in January. So please pray first that I will have patience to continue and persist. And second, pray that our files will finally be dealt with so we can plant some other radio station in the province of Quebec. And because it is with the CRTC, somebody asked me yesterday if we could plant a radio station in Winnipeg for the Francophone communities. And it is actually a possibility. So in any case, we want to pray in that direction as well. Last couple years, BLF Canada got involved in a One Hope Canada camp in the province of Quebec, which is not far from Lachute. Jaël, my daughter, and her husband Zach, that you will put on your fridge here for your diet's sake, they are the directors for that camp. And just a couple years ago, that camp came very, very close to be closed down because of a lack of directorship. And as the board of the camp was meeting for the last time before closing the camp, the application of Zach and Jaël came in and offering their services for the camp. BLF joined in trying to stimulate the interest. And if you as a family, as young people, have an interest in camp and you would like to have a cross-cultural experience in ministry, Quebec is the place. Because you still do not need a passport or a visa to come to Quebec. So do it while the going gets good. We would love to have you either work as a team, work as a family, send us some of your campers if you hope that they will learn a few more words in French. And you do not need, by the way, to speak French to come to Quebec, because Quebec has changed quite a bit. And as a result, a lot of people that speak English only can easily live, survive, and get back home even with just the English language. So that tells you a little bit about the ministry of BLF Canada. Now for the study of the Word. The passage has already been read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 46 to 53. We will predominantly stay in that particular text, so please keep your finger open at the text, because I will ask you to underline certain expression or phrases as we proceed through our study. We need, whenever we read a study like the one in Mark 10, we need to use our imagination and kind of transport ourselves into a context so that we can feel the situation and the drama that is developing. The text tells us something that initially looks rather simple. Jesus came to Jericho, so we got the name of a place. And Jesus and his disciples, so Jesus was not alone, traveling with his disciple, together with a large crowd. Whenever you are watching a movie, there is usually a part of introduction. This is the introduction. Jesus coming out of Jericho with his disciples and a crowd that is rather large. It just so happened that somewhere there on the side of the road, there is this blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now let me ask you this. What do you do with things that have no more any value to you? Now think of it this way. You just sold your house that you lived in for at least 25 years, and you've been stuffing the attic and maybe your garage, and now it's time to move. So you got to sort it out. One thing that I have learned in married life is that within a couple, there is usually a piler and there is usually a filer. One that is like super, super organized. And if you walked into the garage of the filer, you will see little drawn picture where every piece of tool goes, and they all, now that's, I'm a filer. So guess who's the piler in my house? That's right, but the time comes in life where you gotta clean up, right? And it is hard. Now, I don't know how it works in Winnipeg, but in Lachute, Quebec, we have those things that we call garbage bags. And they get filled up. They get put in a green bin. We roll it by the end of the road or driveway, and then it gets picked up, and everything looks clean. Now, I want you to imagine Bartimaeus being rolled to the end of the driveway and discarded, because this is exactly how he felt. On the side of the road, while life was passing by, the crowd was passing by. This man is described as poor. I don't know your life, and this is one of the privileges of a visiting preacher. I don't know anybody here, really, so I can say basically whatever I want, and you can't tell me you preached that just for me. I will then say, well, if the hat fits, wear it. And then if you heard something, then it's because it's the Holy Spirit giving you an elbow in the ribs, letting you know that this was for you. But this man was poor. Have you ever been poor? Poor to the point where you were reduced to begging? This is really the situation that we are looking at here. Not only this man was poor, but he was also rejected. I mean, we see this by the reaction of the people in the crowd and maybe even the disciples when this man was crying for help. And he said, shh, be quiet. Don't bother the master. Now, if you imagine this man on the side of the road, poor, rejected, and being told to be quiet, it doesn't get any lower than this in society. He was a neglected man. Now, I look at all of you this morning, and you know what? You look really, really good. But I think I know why. It's because before you came to church this morning, every single one of you took a few minutes in front of what we call a mirror. You know, everything, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then you come to church, right? But how do you do this when you're blind? You have to imagine him, most likely with long hair, dirty, uncombed, and that was the man that's seated right there by the side of the road. Poor, rejected, neglected, but not only that, also a man alone in his misery. We have so many people in our society, whether they are in refugee camps, whether they are in certain part of our cities, and they are there alone in their miseries. Yes, it is easy for us to judge and to whatever say, well, you know, if you didn't do this or that, maybe you wouldn't be there. Regardless, those people are certainly in need. A man that was despised by all, not easy to look at, not good looking and being there, but he was a beggar, he was poor, he was rejected, and now a man who was completely dependent on his society, and he had been reduced to begging for survival. I never was poor, really, in my life, but I came close to it. I knew from a young age that God was calling me to full-time ministry. And I knew I needed some Bible school education. And the only Bible school I knew of at the time was Briarcrest in Camport, Saskatchewan. So I told my parents at the age of 17 that I was going to go to Briarcrest. My mom says, hey, son, people over there, they speak English. You don't. So I told my mom, says, you're right, Mom. But you know, when those English people were born, they couldn't speak a word of English either. So if they can learn it, I'm not stupid. I can learn it too. And I went there, worked for a year. Took me 8 months before I had my first dream in English. But what many people don't know is that I was on my last dime. Things needed to happen, and they needed to happen quick. And God provided the job. Was able to pay, not just for Briarcrest, but for schooling in 4 other different schools. And I feel this man and his need in his situation. And the scripture says he was sitting by the wayside. Underline this in the Bible. Because, you know, there are some people that in their poverty, in their fact that they are rejected, they are there on the side, watching life go by. And this was the situation of this man. Rejected by all, but was also visible to all. Everybody that passed by saw him. And a little bit like a garbage bag by the curb. Everybody sees, you know, we know which day is garbage day because every neighbors put their garbage bin or their garbage bag by the curb and we see it. But we don't pay any attention to it. Even today, poor people are rejected by society and by their family. Yet before God, the disadvantaged, the deprived, and the marginal, as they are known to our society, are directly related to the true religion. Now, the question is this. What is going to be our reaction should God point one of those needs to you today? Let's look at some of the context that helps us to put it in perspective. Not only rejected by all, but ignored even by the disciple. Have you noticed verse 47? To me, it came to grab my very heart. In verse 47, it is said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him. Who do you think the many were? Who was present? Well, a great crowd, the disciples. Now, it doesn't specifically said in this text that it was the disciples that rejected him and told him to be quiet. But when you go to another gospel that relates the same story, this one in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 18 and verse 39, then it says, those who led the way rebuked him. Now, this is interesting to me because the disciples are the ones, you know, that are making ways for Jesus to go by. My question to you is this. Is it possible for me as a Christian to be among those who rebuke those that have such a great need? We need to watch our very attitude. Because when it is easy for us, it is not necessarily easy for somebody by the roadside. And he was told to be quiet. Up to this point, no one had listened to him. As a last hope, he cried out to the Son of David, the Son of God, have mercy on me. Have you ever in your distress cried out for help and no one was available to help you? Oh, this is such a beautiful message. Do not change your request. Change your audience. Cry out to the Hosanna. Hosanna in Hebrew means save me, I pray, from my misery. It is a cry of joy because finally I have hope. It is a cry of triumph because finally victory is possible. This is what Hosanna means. Let him or her who has been abused cry out, Hosanna, and be delivered. Let the prostitute cry out, Hosanna, and be freed. Let those who suffer marital violence cry out, Hosanna, and be brought to safety. Let the child divorced parent cry out, Hosanna, and be victorious over the feeling of rejection. Let the disabled cry out, Hosanna, and be accepted. Let the grieving who lost a loved one cry out Hosanna and be consoled. Let the drug addict and the alcoholic cry out Hosanna and break the chains of their dependence. Oh, such a great need. There is a fantastic lesson for all of us in verse 49. Jesus hears this man. And then the text says in verse 49, and this is so crucial to this story. So let's go back to Mark chapter 10 and verse 49. In this text we read, after Jesus heard him, it says, Jesus, stop. Full stop. Now, Jesus is so sensitive to the needs at hand that he stopped. Can you imagine the Son of God, the Son of God who created the universe? He stops to answer a crying need. That's the God I serve. He is sensitive to your needs, whatever they might be, in your church, in your family, in your situation at work. Jesus, stop. I, for one, want to learn how to pray so that when I pray, the Son of God stops to minister to my needs. That's so powerful. You see, Jesus could have heard the need and do like when you or I need to make a medical appointment. Call next month. I can't see you this week. No, Jesus didn't say, maybe I'll be able to fit you in next week. Try again. No. Jesus stopped. And then the master asked him a question that is so crucial. The master asked, what can I do for you? You have needs? Come to Jesus who has stopped to listen to your needs. Because he's going to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. We have his full attention. Oh, note here that we see real mission in action. You know, oftentimes when we talk about mission, we talk about the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and some other passages. And that is very true. That is accurately true. But here is what I call an other great commission. Remember what it says here? Here Jesus responded. I mean, the blind man is over there. He's yelling the louder he possibly can. Jesus is over there. And Jesus stopped. And he turned around. And what happens? Now, we know from Scripture that if Jesus would have wanted to yell back and say, Bartimaeus, come here. We know very well that Bartimaeus would have heard him. I mean, we have some examples. For example, you remember the story of the traders in the temple and Jesus who chased them out? What do you think happened there?
Excuse me, man. You're just on this side of the line. Can you just move a little bit?
No. That's not how. Get out of here. If Jesus would have wanted to yell back at Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus would have heard him. Do you remember in John chapter 11 at the resurrection of Lazarus? And the scripture says that Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! My goodness, I wasn't even touching it. I think Lazarus is coming out. And we know when Jesus was on the cross, I mean, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. So now what is transpiring here? Jesus is not yelling back at Bartimaeus and say, come here. Jesus is telling his disciple, go tell him to come here. That's one of the greatest missionary passages in scripture, my friend. We can do nothing to help, except we can go tell them to come to Jesus. And Jesus does not only work with Bartimaeus, but do you remember the reaction, the attitude of the disciples that said, shh, be quiet? Now Jesus is using the disciples to change their attitude by telling them, go tell him to come and see me. That's a great, fantastic passage in the Great Commission, because this is exactly what you and I ought to do. Tell people to come and see Jesus in their needs. One thing that I find fascinating in this text is that Jesus, whenever he does a miracle, basically every time, he uses a miracle, but he also uses human beings. So we need to understand this, how Jesus works in miracles. Because oftentimes we think that a miracle is nothing more than a very good magic trick. There is a big difference between magic and miracles. Magic is always there to impress the audience. Yay! Whoa, that was great. While a miracle is the divine intervention in human life when humans are no longer able to proceed. That's the difference. Let me give you some illustration. We talked a few minutes ago about Lazarus when he was raised from the dead. Do you recall this story by memory? I mean, the two sisters are going to the grave with Jesus. And the sister, your poor little brother, he died. And they're crying their little eyeballs out. And Jesus gives them a little message about the resurrection. And what is the first thing that Jesus said? Jesus said, roll away the stone. You know why? I mean, come on. You're the Son of God. You got the power of creation. Just ask the Archangel Michael to come down here with his dynamite stick and say, poof, there goes the stone. That would have been impressive, maybe, but that's not how God works. You see, people could not resurrect Lazarus, but they could roll away the stone. So there is a message for us that God will never do for you what you can do for yourselves. And this is how God works. What is the second thing that Jesus said after saying, roll away the stone? Well, he yelled quite loud, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, people could not resurrect him. So Jesus intervened. And what is the third thing he said? I mean, if you're going to resurrect someone and you're the Son of God, I mean, you know, the guy had not eaten for 4 days. And then the Bible says he stinks. So hungry, stinks, wrapped up. Trying to just kind of, where's the fresh air here, boys? And then he comes out. And then as he managed to get out, then Jesus said, somebody please loosen the guy. I mean, if you're going to resurrect someone, give them a nice tie, you know, a three-piece suit, a full belly, and maybe some deodorant and all that. None of that. None of that. But you see, people could loosen him and he could feed him. So the next chapter is the great feast. Lazarus was hungry. So let's remember that whenever God performs a miracle, he never neglects what you can do to participate in accomplishing that miracle. That's how God works. You have other illustrations. For example, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus could have just poof, you know, everything appears there. No. He used the lunch of a little boy. And here, he implicated in his miracle the disciples by telling them, go tell him to come here. So even in his miracle, in this particular one, Jesus is implicating his disciples. But he also implicated Bartimaeus. Have you noticed that? Bartimaeus was blind, but he was not deaf. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible says it. Then Bartimaeus was blind, but he was able to get up. The scripture said he jumped. Have you ever seen a blind man jump? I mean, you have this sense of insecurity when you're blind. You don't know where anything is, and you go very carefully. But this guy, there goes the cloak, and he jumps up to his feet. This is something. You need to let that soak in. So Bartimaeus was blind, but he was able to walk. He walked, but not an easy walk, because there was the crowd that were around Jesus. Excuse me, folks. Where are you, Jesus? Oh, he was blind, but he was not deaf. He was blind, but he was able to get up. He was blind, but he was able to walk. Bartimaeus was blind, but he knew what he wanted. He wanted to see. Bartimaeus was blind, but he believed in Jesus. He had faith. Bartimaeus was blind, but he was ready to follow Jesus. It is so, so interesting to compare the first verse of that story with the last verse of the story. At the beginning of the story, Bartimaeus is on the side of the road. At the end of the story, after Jesus ministered to him, he is now on the road with Jesus. Friends, brothers, sister, this is the ministry to which we are called. To tell people to come to Jesus so that they can pass from being useless, rejected, poor, and our society put them aside on the side of the road, and bring them along to where now they can be useful and walk on the road with Jesus. This is quite a ministry that we have. Jesus invites those in need to come to him. If you are in need this morning, remember the story of Bartimaeus. Do not hesitate for one moment to cry out, "Hosanna, Son of God, have pity on me. Help me." And if you are like Bartimaeus on the side of the road and you feel useless, come to Jesus. Let him work in your heart, in your life, so that you can be like Bartimaeus on the road with Jesus. Let's imagine for a minute that this glove over here represents any one of you. What can you do by yourselves? Absolutely nothing. Now let's imagine for just a moment that this other glove here represents me. What can I do all by myself? Absolutely nothing. But let's imagine for just a moment that this hand and that hand represents the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch. This is you now. This is me. Tell me, what can you do now for the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing is impossible. What can I do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Anything he asked me to do. And what can we do if we join forces for all those that are on the side of the road that needs to be on the road with Jesus? And that's the ministry we have. God bless you.